before we get into this podcast, thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Tell me you listen to Pulp MX and save. Suspension work, motor work, all of it at Racetech. Privateer proven, of course, over the years. The Racetech gold valves are great. Service centers all across America. Get your bike dialed in with Racetech. Thank you to those guys for the support on the podcast. Tell me listen to Pulp.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Glendale Supercross Review, Triple Crown. Lots to get into when it comes to that. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX when you check out to save at Fly Racing. Thank you to those guys for supporting the podcast and all that they do. Cooper Webb, Fly Racing rider, had a really good night in Glendale wearing the fly gear. Looks good. And thank you to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis as well. You know Renthal name. You've used their quality products over the years, from bars to sprockets to grips. Mountain bike products are available now on the lock-on grip. The guys at Renthal are super proud of that. Fits on any bar with no modifications. Renthal.com. For more information, really informative website. And fat bar, twin wall bar, 7/8 bar, all of it, man. Renthal.com. And Maxxis Tires. Fast Freddie Norton, Kay Clayson, Hunter Yoder, putting it into mains with Maxxis Tires. Maxxis.com. Great mountain bike tires as well. The soft intermediate terrain, intermediate to hard terrain tires developed by some guy named McGrath. I think he's pretty good. And yeah, if you haven't thought about Maxxis for a while and a high-end tire, well, check out Maxxis.com for more information on that. We'll tell you more about Motorsport.com later on in the podcast, but we got Filthy Phil stepping in for this podcast, which is awesome to have. And then, of course, JT and Weege as well. Talking Glendale and more. Thanks for listening. Away we go. All right, now to talk about Glendale Supercross and the Triple Crown and the great night of racing that it was. First up, from the broadcast, the gentleman was calling the play-by-play with Carmichael. He's also the voice of GNCC. He's the voice of really anything that you're paying. He will say, it's the Jason Wygant. What's up, man?
Yeah, that's right. Right before I hopped on the plane to Phoenix, recorded a couple episodes of ATV Motocross. So yep. Look for it on YouTube right now, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Always good to see you not forgetting your roots.
The roots pay, so it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, in studio, the gentleman, he was on the Supercross broadcasts just last year. And maybe one day we'll appear again. We're not quite sure whether he's fully retired or not. It's Filthy Phil Nicoletti. What's up, Philip?
Hello, boys.
What's happening?
Just hanging out in Vegas.
Yeah. Good times in Vegas.
Yeah, good times.
Are you looking
in Vegas.
For real estate? Like, are you looking to settle down?
Absolutely
here?
Not.
I know. Yeah, you're a big fan of the West Coast.
Somehow
so.
It gets shittier and shittier.
It's great.
Every
it's
time I come here.
Yeah. JT will jump in.
He's been
in.
Looking for a friend, Phil. He's been looking for a friend for years.
I have been. Yep.
Well, after yep. I know.
His life's tough, man. His favorite NFL team moved to his town. His favorite sport started an NFL franchise in his town. The role model mechanic that he looked up to his whole life opened a brewery in town. Just doesn't have any friends, man.
I wonder life's why. Tough. I wonder why he has no friends. Seems pretty hard to figure out.
thank you. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Do you want to start with Reno Arena Cross talk off the top or at the end or – You guys,
are you going to grab JT here?
Oh, is he ready? Did he say?
Says he's ready.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let me grab JT. Hold on. Okay, so now we got him on from Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Use code PULPMX when you're checking out. Of course, it's Jason Thomas. Is up, JT?
Not too much. Am I jumping in the middle of this thing?
We started a little early.
Okay.
We literally discussed nothing besides Phil and I saying hi to the audience, and that was pretty much the extent.
No. Show. No. The first question off the top was, when do you guys want to talk Reno Arena Cross?
And there was kind of silence to that one. Yeah.
Because I went. Never. I don't know if you guys heard, but I went on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think confused as to why.
Oh, it's a good night of racing in the Reno. You ever done Reno, Phil?
No. I've never even been to Reno.
Really?
No. Nope.
Okay. All right.
Plan to keep it that way.
JT, Reno for you or no?
I've been to Reno, yes.
Reno Arena Cross, though.
I didn't go to the Boise Arena Cross, Steve.
Sir, you raced Arena Cross, so I'm talking in your racing.
That was in 2002, sir.
Reno has been around since the mid-80s, sir, holding arena crosses. Literally.
I think it was founded in like the late 1800s, but I have never raced there.
So, yeah, that's exactly just what I needed in your Babbitt's Cowie days, if you'd managed to make it to Reno.
I did not race for Babbitt's Kawasaki.
Okay.
JT, are you grumpy?
Yeah.
JT, are you grumpy this morning?
This is how it starts,
what?
Phil.
No, you just told me I raced for Babbitt's Kawasaki. What do you want me to just let that go?
Just you could mention the team and then say, we did not make it to the Reno round, or I got injured before the Reno round because I know you got hurt in Arena Cross at some point. So that's all.
I am a little grumpy. Our plane was late, but I'm still grumpy or not. I'm confused as to why you went to Reno, but
okay. Well, we'll tell you what. We'll start. We'll talk at the end. So you guys save your freeze Hicks questions till the end.
Okay, sounds good.
It just blows my mind that you skip Supercrosses.
Yeah,
because you're tired of traveling, you want a break, like no Daytona and stuff like that. But yet, you went out of your way to go to Glendale, do the WPS thing, fly to Reno. Watch Reno fly back to Glendale. Dude, what?
Well, when I made the Reno plans, the WPS thing I didn't know about. So I had committed to Reno already. Not that I couldn't change it, but I had the Reno commitment. So I'll tell you
what,
though.
There has to be some sort of underlying reason you went. Like, you can't just be like, I wanted to check out the racing. Like, I don't believe that.
That was exactly it. Absolutely. I'm probably, we each cover your ears, but I'm probably out $600 or $700.
No, but, like, there was no Stark thing, no Sean thing from Arena Cross.
No.
No, nothing. You're just like, I think Reno is going to be fire, and I need to be there.
I thought Arena Cross will be fire, and I need to be there. Yeah, okay. So the Reno round worked out, you know, worked out nicely, but, yeah.
JT, I'm not thinking we're getting everything on the up and up here.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Whatever. I was offered the chance to ride a Stark around, do a few laps. I declined, but
I think you should
have put some money together to watch that.
Yes, that would have brought a lot of attention to the Arena Cross that weekend.
Right, so I didn't do that.
Why didn't you?
Oh, dude, come on! It takes me all day to jump tabletop. Do you think I'm jumping that finish line?
No, there's no way. That's why it'd be funny to see you out there on the start.
80 horsepower.
Around. Yeah. You
know. No, there was nothing in it for me. But I'll tell you what, I got interviewed on the broadcast. I was asked a few times how I was doing, if I needed anything. Very, very accommodating folks there.
But you were not invited to this by anybody?
No.
Like, you just went of your own accord and said, I'm choosing Reno.
100%.
On the Friday of Glendale Supercross.
100%. It worked out nicely. I followed the Arena Cross series. It was a lot better when not everybody was hurt. You know, like when Wageman was there and KP was there. The start of the series was on fire. Mm-hmm. So they've had some injuries.
Okay. I still think the truth will come out.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Like I said, cover your ears, Weege. I'm out $600 or $700 for that night in Reno. So.
Yeah, I think you profited.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into Glendale if we can. Really fun track to me to watch. That we had some big old booters. But the riders afterwards were not stoked. It was a little different, Glendale. Not the long-ass lanes that we're used to. And the start went, you know, sort of sideways across it. And so after the race, Kenny was breaking bearing races. Dylan Ferrandez told me he broke 3 rear axles. Harlan had a problem in qualifying. Benny had an axle problem. The landings were gnarly. It was hard pack. And I think that... Mike Mewey from Feld will be getting some phone calls from some teams being like, hey, man, can we not do that? Because it was – the riders said the jumps were too big for a Triple Crown, And even like Ferrandis is like, yeah, that's, I said, it looked like fun. Ferrandis is like, not fun, not fun at all. So, I don't know. I'll start with you, Weege. I thought the track was fun to watch, but it didn't seem that vibe. Did you get that vibe from teams and riders?
Yeah, it was both of those things, right? Because what the fans are always asking every week, and the riders to somewhat of a degree, is separation. Now, I had this rant on the show last week that there's a lot of time to be made up, not just by the races don't come down to there's 22 riders on the track and all 22 do 22 different jump combos. Like, it's just not how it's ever going to work or ever has worked. I just get mad when I hear people say after practice, like, there's not a separation out there, but then teams are dart fishing, like, one line 6 inches off in a corner is time right there. The fans don't see. So this track actually did have that, which was cool. But yeah, I think the problem was the option, having options was cool. I just think they were too freaking big. And that's why guys didn't like them. And then the singles, same thing, just too freaking big. Options are good, not when they're that potentially bad.
Yeah, I don't think they took out a little roller they had before the finish that Kenny was kind of the first guy to double it. They took that out. Yeah. Now
I don't know if that was better or not, though. Like, did that really help anything?
Well, I asked somebody why.
Roxton said it was worse, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know that that really helped. Yeah. I don't know that I would go say worse, but I don't know. I definitely don't think I'm on the camp of better.
Well, apparently they took it out because they didn't want guys to double it. They don't want somebody to not jump and then somebody land on them, right? So they thought if they took the roller out, no one would jump that far because there was no landing, but it was faster, and guys are going to jump that far because they're professional motocross racers. So, and then they never thought that anybody would jump across the start straight, apparently. They didn't really do the math on that.
Oh, Weege helped.
Really?
Okay.
Well, there was a rider that they could have consulted, man who's raced 150 some of the main events. He's easy to find. He's part of the broadcast crew. His actual job is analyzing the track for TV.
Ricky?
No, his name is Jason Thomas, and he told Ricky that it was going to be jumped on Friday.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't really think about that, I guess, as from what I hear.
What?
So, I don't know. It was interesting, though, to see, like, yeah, at some point 250 guys are launching it. So, like, in my, when Dylan and other riders are telling me about, hey man, that's things too big, I'm thinking, well, Julian and Deegs are doing it, so how sketchy, quote unquote, can it be? Phil?
Sketchy.
Well, you know what I mean, though?
Like, yeah, I don't know. That was a big jump to be there.
It was the most difficult track I've seen in a very long time. I had said that all weekend. When I walked the track, I looked at it Friday. I was like, oh, boy.
Sorry, JT, go ahead. No, it's just weird because there's really not that many catastrophic accidents, was there?
No.
There were some big crashes. I mean, the futures, we had two practices and two red flags.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, so the futures are a part of, well, SMX Next is a part of that conversation, right? I just thought when you have SMX Next, you have a triple crown, and you have the most challenging track I've seen in a long time, I don't know that that's the right recipe to put all together, if that makes sense. Because this track was... forget about the racing. It was just hard to put the jumps together. I like this type of racing. I like when the tracks are really, really difficult. But I was talking to a few other people, and I'm like, this is going to be one of those nights where we're going to have some big crashes and hopefully not injuries, but likely.
Yeah, there was no – it didn't really seem like there's any three-footers. They're all like 5- and 8-footers, you know?
Yeah, they were tall.
You're always going from medium to big. It was never small to big. I don't know. But those rhythms were big, but just overall, like, big crashes through the night. Other than the futures, it didn't seem like there was any massive cartwheels for what. It's either you had enough, you hit the section clean enough to get the rhythm, or if you hung a wheel just a slight bit, you were out. There was never like, hey, I might have it. It's either you're in it or you're out.
Yeah,
there's no in between.
And the quad coming out of the sand before the sand, I should say, like that thing, like
that's what I mean. It's either you hit that spot on to get it, or if you didn't, it was you just backed out.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not on the dirt bike, as Phil likes to say. Like, he'd like to get us media guys and tape our hands to the throttle and have us go through whoops. But watching it, I thought it was awesome. I was stoked. Like, I'm just like, look at this time being made or lost or Do you know what I mean? Like, I hate those tracks where you show up and everyone's jumping everything and there's one line and that's it. And Dart Fish figures it out. And we watch dudes do the same jumps every lap all day long. And this was
I'll tell you, yeah, I agree with that. But I'll tell you what I told somebody who asked me right before the night show, like what I thought. And I'm like, I think there are some nervous guys about hurting themselves tonight. Like, not,
yeah.
Do I do well or any of that? Like, I think they're like, man, if I make a mistake here, I'm going to the hospital. And that's not really normally a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This track presented that catastrophic risk because the jumps were huge. Like, really big rhythms, and you could get yourself in a really bad spot really quickly. Thankfully, it didn't go that poorly. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I haven't seen a track in a while where I felt like really good guys are like a little iffy on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, almost everyone I talk to, because one of my standard post-race questions is like, how's the track, right? What'd you think? And outside of Sexton, when I told him that some guys were not happy with the jumps, and he just shook his head and said, this is Supercross. That's what he told me. Mm-hmm. Outside of Chase, everyone had some reservations. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like,
yeah, but like JT, you know how it's either like, I just think the rhythms were so big that it was just like either you were going to commit to doing the big rhythm or you just stuck with your basic.
Which
line.
Is what Jordan did. Jordan didn't jump all the big stuff, and he told me that the team told him, if you're not going to do it, don't even think about it.
Just stick with the normal basic line. You can do every single lap and make up the half a second somewhere else versus breaking your ankles.
And Phil, that was sort of your strategy, right? Get a good 100%. Start, and I'm going to do all the rhythms exactly
the basic
the
ones that I can hit for 15 plus one. Yeah. And I think a lot of guys last night on that track showed exactly that. It's just like, hey, I ain't risking it. It's round four. I'm just going to stick with what I got for right now.
Yeah. Even that four before the whoops, like, I thought that was cool. Like, got inside, outside. I had somebody dart fish it tell me that really wasn't that much of a difference. But, you know, obviously you had more speed coming in the whoops, so you could make it up at the end. But the obstacle itself was kind of basic, like, or same time, inside, outside.
I thought what Kenny was doing with the quad and his whoop speed in general was actually pretty badass.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I liked it, but man, when you're breaking axles and chains and bearing races, something should be done.
can we just say it's basically almost exactly like the Triple Crown? Everybody but the riders loved it. Like, if you're a spectator and you don't have to take any risk or do any of the work to pay for an extra bike or do it, like, any of the negatives, everybody else loved it. Because I think that's how Triple Crowns are viewed. In the same way.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
What
right.
is what is the 450?
Here's my question, you guys. Though, here's the problem. So everyone does agree that it's better when the track has options, right? Riders and fans both want that, right?
Yep.
How do you have options, but also not have the options be too big? Like, how do you get that combination? Multiple options, but none of them are too big. Almost what creates the options is the going big. So I don't know how you get all that.
Yeah, we just 100% correct on it.
Right.
You
know?
Like,
you saw options, but we don't want quads.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
well,
Coop,
did you?
Go ahead. No, it's just like Coop in that first main, he was getting the triple over the start almost every single time, and Jet messed it up a bunch. And it was just like going that big, it just shows how much faster it was, you know, versus Jet messing it up and not doing it. Whereas if it was 5 foot shorter, Jet would have still greased it every single lap, but that extra 5 feet just seems like a hell of a long way. So, yeah, that's a good point, Weege.
I think they could have given options without the final huge jump, because the left versus right, like the you went over or on off, those are both different lanes. But then that huge double at the end kind of changed the equation a little bit. So I like the having the ability to rhythm through a different section, even if you're 5 feet to the right versus the left. I don't know. I don't want to see the stars get hurt. That's my biggest fear, is losing the best guys. And then the series really takes a turn for the worse. But as far as a technical racetrack, like, I always preferred those. I don't know. I go back to my original, I haven't seen a racetrack in a while where I felt like even the best guys we have were kind of looking at it side-eyed.
Yeah. Somebody, I forget who it was in my post-race, was saying, like, it's been burly this year. We had a quad in San Diego they left in. We had this weekend, the Anaheim one. They were, like, Kane, like they're, like, saying that this seems like a concerted effort to toughen up the tracks. And And I'm like, I kind of agree. And on the flip side, I've liked every track. I'm in the press box drinking coffee, but I've liked every track, and it's been exciting. So we each goes back to your question, and you were right, right? So
I will say it was awesome to hear all the post-race interviews of the riders being like, I couldn't get that rhythm every lap, and it led to exciting racing. Yeah. Guys would be gaining, then all of a sudden they would lose it, then they would come back, and that's what everybody is kind of looking for.
Yeah, and like when when guys, you know, started doing that triple – not, we're calling it a quad, but it's actually just a triple, but there seemed like there was another jump in there. The crowd was loving it. Like, if you went there last night and bought a ticket, you know, you were, like, into it. Like, watching those guys send that thing when Juju did it or Deegs did it, like, it was a big deal on a 250, right? So,
yeah. I can't believe they're getting on that on a 250. That's insane.
Also, I think our Webb, I don't believe he did it all day, and then he did it on the parade lap of the first main.
He did.
Like, because, you know, I'm watching the first, and you just watch guys on parade laps ride around, and all of a sudden, Coop just goes, yeah! And I'm like, oh, yeah, because he had never done it, and he's like, I guess I got to do it. I would not want to do that.
And then the fucker hole shots and then bangs out every single lap.
Yeah.
Every lap he got it. Like, dude, that's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, weird, but then I guess... Have you ever done that, JT, on a parade lap? Wait for, like, do something for the first time on a parade lap?
I have definitely done different rhythms on a parade lap, but I don't think it was ever as big as that jump. That's for sure.
Well, Sexton's always like, I do it on the parade lap. But I would, me personally, I would never do it on a parade lap. I'm always first lap of the main or first lap of the moto. I'll follow somebody, but never, I'm not dying on a parade lap. Everyone's just there watching you.
I was like the parade lap because I could kind of set up for it and like make sure everything was perfect. Nah. And then because in the race, you're just rushing the whole time. Yeah. And I was worried I would, but I don't know.
Yeah, but then when you get sprawled out on the parade lap, everyone's looking at you. If it happens in the race, there's a bunch of other action
that's
going
on.
The goal is to not sprawl yourself out.
But you never know.
Right. The only thing I got of that is Red Bud 1 year, Timmy never jumped the leap all day in practice in the first lap of the first moto. He's like, oh, I guess I'm going to do the leap now.
Same.
And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. All right, you know who did love the track, Weege, who did shake his head and say this is Supercross, was the guy who went 3-2-2 for the overall, or 3-3-2, Chase Sexton, Weege. Wins this first time. We have a two-time winner this year, and he grabs a points lead. And one of the mains, and I always have a little issues in triple crowns remembering which main was which. I need to maybe make some notes. And I haven't watched the broadcast back, but one of the mains, dude, he was like 15th in the first turn. And then he was like 6th after the first lap. So I want to go back and watch that one because he really made some passes in one of the main events where he was way back. But Sexton was great. You know, we kind of knew he didn't need Tomac for the overall in the third one. Not that it take anything away from Eli's ride, but that's the downside of a triple crown. He told me he wasn't, you know, he knew he just had to beat Kenny. But either way, Sexton rode great.
He did, but this is kind of awesome for the series because, especially since we don't know Jet Lawrence's status at this point, I still don't think, even with three races here or three races before it, you still don't really know where anyone stands. Like, we know Sexton's really, really good. We know that. We already knew that. But we don't know, is he better than Eli? I don't know. Where does Jet fall? I don't know. Broxton's better than expected. We know Coop's going to get better. It's pretty cool how guys are winning races, but they're kicking the can down the road of giving anyone any feel for who really is the guy, which is awesome. And the point is that Sexton wins without winning any of the three events, which really drives that home. Yeah, there was one where he had a bad start and made moves, but also in the first one, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, he started well, and he just lost a bunch of ground. But then halfway through, he made it all back.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right.
It's phenomenal to see that.
I think JT, win or lose at the end of this thing, and who knows, we got a lot more rounds to go. I am surprised that Sexton is this much improved from last year. Like, he may win this thing, and he may not. He's going to win more races. I'm just surprised that in one off season, they got this thing figured out as good as they did. Like, I went on one of my janky shows and said, hey, my hot take, and it's a hot take, was that Sexton's going to sign with another team for next year. Because I don't think he's going to be that much improved than a KTM. I just don't know how they're going to get there to see the old Sexton back. Well, that hot take was looking very cold at the moment because, like, JT, he's fixed. Like, he's great. Like, again, I don't know if he's going to win, but...
I mean, okay. He went 3-3-2. Do you think he's like 2023 Chase? I still don't. I think he's a lot better.
Yeah.
I think he is a lot better. But I don't think he is lie detector test. I don't think he's like as good, confident, like raw speed as fast as he was. He's okay. Definitely better. There's no doubt about that.
I would say fair, yes, because he's not as dominant, not putting together things where you just shake your head, but he's damn close, you know?
Yeah, he's better. Like, I think it's a step forward for sure. I just like A1 was very impressive to me. The other races have kind of been like so-so, not bad. Last night was good, you know, 3-3-2 for the win. You know, it's good. A1 is the first race where I was like, all right, that was something. Like, that was impressive. He looked like the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tomac looked great too. But, Sexton, hard to argue that Sexton didn't look fantastic at A1. And if I get more of that, I'm on board. Right now I'm kind of like, yes, a lot better. But all the way, I don't know. And not that nobody cares. Like, whatever. I'm splitting hairs here. But that's my only kind of pullback.
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, let's say Chase has lost 0.25% raw speed from 2023, but I think he gained a full percent in maturity. Just the way he goes about a whole race. Like, he's not tucking in, not making dumb decisions, not cartwheeling, piling himself into the ground. Like, that's got to mean something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder if the top end is all the way, like, you know, what is he capable of? Is that there?
Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
But as a person, as a rider, mentally and all that, sure.
I 100% agree. Yeah, and that might not be there, but then where he gained, it might be the spot where he needs to for a full 17 rounds to be a championship guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I probably should have led with Jet. Let's talk about Jet real quick. Left the track in crutches, dabbed his knee. Now, I kind of think about what year did Kenny do this? I think he was on RCH. Where he, Salt Lake, put his knee down, immediately rode off the track. It was back at the Asterisk Alpine Star truck. And, you know, everyone assumed the worst. And then he was fine. So I...
No, that was Salt Lake. That was Honda. 23.
Was that Honda?
Yeah.
Okay. So...
No, it was Hep Suzuki.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah, it was 2023.
All right, sorry. So,
remember, he wanted to go back out on the track because someone in the rig must have said, dude, you know how much money you make if you get 30 points?
Yeah, yeah. It was points in the standings, right?
And he tried to go back onto the track.
But like,
Lars actually mentioned it in his interview.
Yeah.
So I kind of think about that a little bit. I mean, you know, Kenny didn't leave the track in crutches like Lewis Phillips said Jet did.
Oh.
But, Phil, let's start with you. What do you – I mean,
the way it looks, I mean, I've done both my – ACLs. I did one the same exact way Jet has done it. I guess it's always hard to say. I mean, when he hit the ground like that, it could just be a gnarly bone contusion. You mm-hmm. know, he could have done a meniscus tear or whatever. But I mean, at that point in time, right away, it does hurt like
mm-hmm.
all hell.
Right.
But if he went in there, I don't know if it's Bodner, whoever, you can kind of go see if it swelled up right away.
Lars said doesn't feel it's not loose.
Yeah, like they did the draw, you know, the draw test on it.
Same thing happened to me, and they said, no, you're good. And I was far from good.
Yeah.
Like you mean at the track, they told you you're good?
Yeah. Same people, same everything.
Right.
Yeah, like, I think you're going to be okay. I was indeed not okay.
JT,
you might check your email. We have a doctor that says sometimes your body works so hard to protect itself.
Oh, I read it. Yeah.
That it can mask it briefly.
Yeah. Well, everything tightens up, right? It's a protective mechanism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Phil, if you had to say, like, is that a knee? Is that a serious knee injury, or would you lean that way?
I mean, the way it looked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the ACL. You know, if the ACL is done, you got to go get it fixed. But if it's a meniscus, whatever, but it'll show up next weekend. It'll be fine. You know.
If it's ACL, JT, does he continue to race? Try to manage this thing?
I don't think so. I do think it was something serious. I don't want it to be. If anything, I get yelled at for being a fan of Jet. But the way he reacted, usually my always the thing I go to in any situation like this, everybody is a racer, and especially if you're in like championship situations or at the very top. Everything you could possibly do to stay on the racetrack, and you're so singularly focused on that, you're willing to ride through pain. You're willing to, like, what? Look at Joe Shimoda. Like, broken fingers. He still finished that hot lap when he broke his fingers. You know what? He didn't even pull off until after the lap. You have so much adrenaline going. When your body, like, suffers something like that, and you're like, he rode off the track and didn't try to continue riding.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, try to go back on the track. He went straight to the Alpine Stars truck. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Similar to, like, where Tomac did. I know they're very, you know, different injuries, but any time in my experience or watching other people, you know when you're injured. Like, something's very wrong, and it completely snaps you out of, like, I got to get back on track. Like, I got to get points. And I know Roczen is the outlier to that. I understand. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, in my experience, it's usually something a little bit more serious than a stinger when you have that reaction and you make no attempt to get back out there. So let's hope for the best. Just from talking to people, it didn't look great to me. Didn't look great.
And Jet's not a pussy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The kid can take a freaking hit and keep going. So, like, yeah, JT's right. I mean, it was enough for him to be like, hey, I got to go get something checked out. I mean, at Hangtown, he finished that moto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a hit. You're talking about just dabbing your knee towards a point where you can't finish the race. So it's kind of like, all right, dude, you know.
He'd only gone
Let's hope for the best, but it didn't look good. That's about as much as I would be willing to offer.
He'd only gone 2-2 to start the night. Looked great. No, practice was qualifying was fantastic, but, you know, Coop beat him and Kenny beat him. And coming off last week, I think a lot – they did some shock changes, and you would think that, okay, if this kid's going to start taking over, it's going to be this weekend building on it. And he only went 2-2. Now, great rides, don't get me wrong, but it was getting to be, like, exciting. Like, you were like, oh, he's a little not there where he's just his phenom yet, and let's hope he's all right. But, yeah, we'll know more. Cooper,
did you see how many mistakes he made on the – first couple laps of race two, and he was all over the place
About center punched Mookie after the
week. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he did.
I hope he went and apologized to Mookie or told him, man, I'm sorry.
Oh, he was very worried about that on the podium. Like, when we're waiting around, like, there's always this 2-minute time frame where you're just kind of I'm not trying to bother them, but you just make small talk. And he was like, man, I have to go talk to Mookie. Like, can somebody get to Mookie? Because that sucked, and I did not mean to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I just mean, like, he was a little more mortal, even though going 2-2. Like, it was shaping up to be a great night. Cooper Webb won the first one. Now, Glendale's never been good for Coop. And he told me that he did some testing with Gilly on some hard pack stuff. JT, he told us you were there too. And it ended up he went back to his base setting. Didn't use the new stuff after press day. So developed a Glendale setting. Press day didn't like it. Went back to base. And then, like we just mentioned, jumped that triple on the parade lap. Won the first one. And, I don't know if the Glendale curse, quote-unquote, is broken, Phil. But it's Coop's your buddy. And that was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Omaha track Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm doing testing. And he looked phenomenal Tuesday and Wednesday. And when he got done Wednesday, he said he felt great.
Yeah.
New setting, whatever. And the rhythms at the Omaha track are not small. They're beefy rhythms. And it was tacky and rutted. So, yeah, it's kind of weird that he went back to his base setting from last year, because he's only been doing a couple clicks here and there. So
I'm base setting before the changes. Base setting for 2025.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so which is the same as last year.
Yeah, same as last
year.
Same
as last
year. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So he went back to base that he had last week, you know.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But if he feels comfortable with that, it kind of sucks, because he spent 2 days testing.
Hammering it, right.
You know, back and forth, and, you know, making sure no one shoveled anything so he didn't lose any variables. And
yeah,
to have that and go back to it. And I don't know. It still came out.
I almost wonder a little bit. Like, I don't know what his past schedule was, but did he ride in SoCal before Glendale in other years? Or did he come from Florida to Glendale and that? You know what I mean?
I think he's always been out here and then went.
Oh, he has? Okay, because I was going to say, maybe the riding in Southern California just got him a little more comfortable with that type of dirt, you know?
I don't think he's been logging a ton of time. So the past 2 weeks, I think he's finally been able to put in some laps.
Yeah.
So, but he showed it that first main. It was pretty, very impressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I'm Weege. There's no one had that on their bingo card. Hey, Cooper Webb's going to hole shot this first main and take off. Like, no one.
I wish I could have had emojis to show his emotions on press day. I think I was the first person to get to him, and I was like, hey, I'm going to ask this as softly and diplomatically as possible, but you know that you don't do well here. And he laughed and we joked about it. It was good. And then I think nine more people came at him in the next half hour with the same thing. And then by the end, he was completely and totally miserable and over everyone saying, hey, you know, you suck here. Hey, you know, you suck here.
Well,
yeah.
I was trying to cheer him up at the WPS thing. We had him on our podcast on Wednesday night. And I said, look, man, I know you don't do well at Glendale, but it's a different track every year. You should be fine. You should be fine.
There you go.
You know, trying to twist it a little bit.
He backed up what he said, though. He backed up what he told us. He's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just going to approach it like none of that matters. And what else can I do? Like, I don't care what the stats say. That is not going to dictate what happens on Saturday. And he damn sure did it.
But then,
well, I told his mechanic there, I'm like, so honestly, really, it is the media that is responsible for this performance. So you can thank us.
Mm-hmm.
We got him so angry to prove us wrong. So hope the check's in the mail.
His even though his first one he won, I think his most impressive main was the third one.
Third one.
I mean, he was 15th. You know,
was he that far back? Yeah,
he was fucking back there around the first corner.
Okay,
and to come back to the third or whatever, like got. Yeah, beating Jake the first one, but yeah, he crushed that last main event, saved him.
I missed so much of that because I was at Alpine Stars and waiting for Jet, and I could watch my monitor, but normally my only way to watch kind of that battle or who's on the move, who's charging, is to look out on the track, and I couldn't do that, so I missed all of that. I wish I would have got to see it.
Impressive performance for Cooper Webb. Phil, like, and JT, the racers in this group, even though, you know, of course we all know my world vet accomplishments. If he doesn't get the hole shot though, Phil, like, does his whole night go differently? Like, let's just say he's at Glendale and he gets a 10th place start and it's like, F my life, here we go again. Do you know? And we know he's a gamer. We know when the shit hits the fan. So, like, I almost wonder if that hole shot was like, he rarely goes backwards.
Yeah, I don't know, because he qualified third.
Did he? Okay, yeah.
I don't think he's qualified third at Glendale ever.
Right,
like, normally it's like 11th or something. Don't quote me. But for him to be able to do that, because Coop is a point-and-shoot guy, so to be able for him to go that speed on a practice lap at Glendale with that sort of speed kind of shows, and not doing the quad at that point, like, kind of gnarly.
Yeah, so he's just on it all day. He's feeling good all day.
Yeah, he must have felt good all day. Right. And like I said, I watched him Tuesday, Wednesday, even though he was testing, he looked really good. Yeah.
I mean, JT, the thing that's changed for him really is fly racing.
I would love to take credit for that, but I will not. I think this is this is just Cooper Webb defying what everybody says he can't do. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of that this weekend.
He looks good in the fly stuff. I'll give you that, JT.
Oh, look at this.
He does.
We got it out of him.
I tell Coop actually almost every week, you look so much better in the fly stuff, fly helmet. You know, like he looks good.
Wow.
Yeah.
History here, folks.
He would look better somewhere else, but you know.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That's what you're supposed to do. I will take it. Yeah. I will take it.
Coop Webb, second place. Ken Roczen, third. He said he was kind of tired in that third main. And when his mechanic was saying need 96, he told me, like, he was like, well, I bet you that's for the podium. Here we go.
and he
said he had to get it. And he said it was a
51
lot.
51 he had to get.
He had to get 51. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so get 51. And he was like, well, dug deep and got it done. And again, he won the second one.
He's probably like, does it have to be Barsha?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Barsha, that ride came out of nowhere for Barsha, too, out of that night.
12-6.
But good job for Kenny.
18th spot, he qualified.
Yeah.
What was Barsha doing up until that race? Like, he had a terrible day other than that last one.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's exactly happening. But back to Roczen. Yeah. You know, and going to that second one and winning that second one, he was the first guy to do the double, triple, I should say. It was just Weege. It was impressive. It was another, like, he lost the red plate, but it was an impressive night for Ken Roczen.
There's all these signs, right? Like, we know when Ken is off, he fades bad, and you're not seeing any of that. Like, pretty much every race this year, he's shown grit. He hasn't faded. And then jumping jumps that other guys aren't jumping. And he said, JT, that was a mistake in the first turn of the second race. But I don't know. I just feel like you're seeing signs of aggression for him and willingness to make contact that we haven't seen in years. He doesn't seem to be riding scared. That's for darn sure. So
yeah.
I don't know if that makes him the best guy in the series or the champ or anything like that, but it's not just luck. He's doing something different.
Him in that first corner, the second one, that he went for it. I don't know. It's a different Kenny. You know, right? I don't think in the past he would really have went for that extra quarter of an inch, but he did for that start, and that was saving
that
grace.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, didn't he say that he that was a mistake? I don't.
Yeah, I truly think he knew he had to push Jed a little deep there.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so he could get that inside. Like I think the way it went, it certainly was a mistake. His leg getting ripped off. He said he even hurt his groin a little bit.
Yeah,
like pulled something.
Yeah.
So, but the intent to push Jed deep, don't believe was a mistake. I don't believe that.
And how many times has Roxanne been on the other side of that, where you're like, man, why didn't he just? Like, especially when he gets abused by Coop. And so he's like, why didn't you just give it that extra 2%? You got to want it. And all of a sudden, you're, like, seeing all these signs of that now.
Yeah, it was cool. And then that four before the whoops, Kenny was probably doing that the best out of anybody. Even Chase said he had trouble getting it, and he gave props to Kenny for doing it better and more often than he did. You know what I mean? When has that ever happened? Yeah, you know, like, where you're just like, oh, Roxanne's jumping something that other guys are having trouble with. I mean, nowadays, back in the day, yes, but now.
Which I'm surprised with that, because Jet saw him going outside quad and then yank him in the whoops a little bit, and then Jet would come back in. So why wouldn't, you know, obviously it's easy for me to say Jet's a way better racer than I am, but why wouldn't he go outside and quad it too just to keep the gap the same versus going inside table single?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it was like lap after lap, he would lose it and then gain it back in, then lose it, gain it back in.
Chase told me that going outside opened the door for Eli
to come in.
And so that's why he kind of stopped doing it. So maybe Jet was like, if I stick this inside, I can get him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, watching from the press box with my cup of coffee and some VIP food snacks that we were getting, it looked like to me if you took the inside, you would really have to like be an asshole about doing that move to block the guy. But I never saw one person do that all night. But Chase said it was there. So maybe Jet was like, hey, if I rail this turn right, I can get in front of him. I don't know.
But they're going so fast at that level. There's no be kind of no. I mean, JT, right? I mean, Kenny's going outside railing. Jet was to come up the inside in that section. I mean, it'd be catastrophic.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to work. No. I mean, the only thing you're really hoping for is you want to be alongside somewhat if that person makes a mistake in the whoops after. Yeah. But I think making a pass in the corner is probably wishful thinking.
But Kenny is just so good in whoops that are hard and slick like that.
Yep.
He's just
and he was
clutch.
All the way up against the bales on the right. Like, he's hitting. And these are the types of things I want to be better at sharing on the broadcast. Like, Kenny was hitting. And I did it at Denver last year. Like a 6-inch window of where he's hitting the whoop. Because it's not cupped out and no one that's human can stay in that little window all the way down the whoops perfectly, but that's where he's hitting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the right-hander into those whoops at Denver. Yeah, way on the left, there's like a 6-inch pad that was fresh, and all of us dumb dicks are going down the rut, but I wasn't risking it way on the left. But it's the same thing. Like, you literally have 6 inches, and your tire is 3 inches, you know? So, it was impressive.
Tomac fourth, he was fast again. He rode great. Won the last one, of course. I thought the first one was his worst one. He just kind of never really got that forward. And then the second one, he was on it and worked his way up. And then his start selection, Kenny took his gate for the first main. So he was outside of that. The next main, he goes inside. Sucks. Then the next main, he goes further out than he normally does and pulls it. So I guess JT, he was just searching for a gate and he found it outside for the last one.
Yeah, I think it was it was one of those things where it's different now with the grades, but I wonder if it was just a condition over position thing. You know, like was the rut across, or, you know, was the traction over on the other side better?
Yeah.
I did not spend a lot of time looking at the gates this weekend, I'll be honest. Normally I do, but they were kind of far away from where I was standing, so I didn't get to do that.
Yeah, definitely a little uninspired first main weege by Eli. Like, it was like, eh. But then he got it. Then he got on it. But
I don't know. I mean, dude, it's so start crossing. I think he was 16th or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did we just say about Barsha? Like, where did that come from? Well,
yeah,
it start crossed.
Yeah. But yeah, fourth overall. Kenny knocked him out. Like Kenny got Barsha on the with a lap and a bit to go, so he was third overall until then. Eli was, and then Kenny knocked it off with the pass on Hunter.
But, I don't. How do you go Coop for one instance? How do you get hole shot one main, and then the third main you're 15th? I don't.
You're a professional dirt bike racer.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking. How at that level is there that big of a variance between first and 15th?
Yeah, so actually,
it's not even first and
sixth. So actually, I watched Coop specifically in the third one. I don't know why. Just happened to zero. He looked late on the third one.
It's just mind blowing to me. I don't. I mean,
but generally, you're right.
Tomac's the same. You're 14th, 14th. All of a sudden, bang! Hello.
Yeah.
We won the lottery.
Right.
Like, what? And it's not like you're going to the gate 12th.
Yeah.
There's still five good gates.
Did we get to the bottom of the start map stuff this week?
With what?
With Coop and Eli and Justin Cooper and all that? Did we get to the bottom of that?
No, you said I'm drunk, so.
My source said you're drunk. Yeah.
That source was there when you were texting me that.
But we were talking to Coop at the WPS sales meetings about that, about not using a start map, because I was always under the impression that most of these guys are running a start map because it's awesome. Why wouldn't it? It seems like a great thing to me to start with. But Coop's like, I don't use it. Eli doesn't use it. Kenny told me he doesn't use one. And I'm like, wait, what? So then we got into it on the podcast a little bit, JT, with Coop, you know? And it's just interesting to see that.
What'd Coop say?
Coop said, yeah, he just likes the feel of a clutch, of using the clutch and, you know, the throttle and having it like a natural feeling like that.
It's fucked up.
And he said he wanted all the power at his disposal too.
Yeah.
Kind of part of it.
And just use the clutch. So, okay. No. Phil's shaking his head.
No.
Okay.
So that's backwards way of going about it.
I mean, the Lawrences have a start map, Toru, and we know what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked great, you know? So, but.
It's just you can tune it.
I don't know that. I don't know that they're like, Justin Cooper's starts were terrible this weekend.
They've been bad except for last weekend for the most part. Yeah.
And Tomac's have been bad, right. And Coop's were really good this weekend. So I don't know, man. It seems like it's a crapshoot for everybody right now.
Go to the track with Toru, work 8 hours on start maps, fine-tune everything with RPMs and clutch and throttle. Boom. Easy peasy.
I don't think Toru is going to go with Cooper Webb.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying find your Toru. Find your Toru. And then, I mean, that's literally Jamie Ellis, a Twisted Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You have done that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's just so much you can do with the start map to really hone it into a specific rider, you know?
But I guess also, too, Kenny, Coop, Eli, older, right? I didn't maybe have that back in the day.
I didn't have it back in the day.
Still much younger.
Yeah, good point. Okay, Weech, fair point.
But, you know, I didn't have it either, but like you still have to some, you know, they have tons of racer IQ, okay? Well, you need some sort of, you know, racer intelligence is what the bikes are doing all the way through. And if you can find, you know, I like using percentages, but a percent in a start map, dude, that's especially at their level.
Yep.
Holy fuck.
Well, start straight was a little short this week, and you know.
But again, they're not finishing worse than fifth or sixth, so there's still five or six really good gates on the left side or just right of the box that still give you a very good vantage point to the first corner. So, I mean, first and 15th, fuck.
Right. You're not saying first and sixth. You're saying first and 15th.
Yeah,
right,
like it's they're huge differences.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How do you miss that window so much?
Well, I don't know. Ask them. All right. Hunter Lawrence, fifth. 5.94. He was up front in the first one for a little bit, right? And then 5.94. And I mean, it's kind of been his spot. That fifth spot outside of Anaheim has been his house. And I would think that's fair where he's at when you look at the guys beating him, right? Everybody on this call kind of agree. Like, he's like the next best guy, right? Yeah. Not maybe as good as last year at the end, but still really good.
Yeah, but that's how he does it. Like, he probably will be there.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. So Justin Hill, he was back this weekend, everybody. I don't know what's going on the last weekend. He passed Tomac. He was battling with Eli in two of the mains. Passed him back at one point. 8-10-7 for six. Like, not a true sixth overall per se. But, yeah, he qualified. Wasn't he second when qualifying for a while?
Well, he would jump that. He was the first that actually jumped that 84-footer.
Of course he was.
Before Kenny?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yep.
But Kenny was like the next lap or two laps later.
Yeah, he was.
So that helped.
Yeah.
His lap time rocketed pretty far up when he jumped that.
Yeah. But he was.
Unbelievable, these guys.
So he's gone 6th, 15, 18, 6, or between the four races, which also lines up with Justin Hill, right?
But in 8-10-7s, right, where you would expect him, though.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Like that for, so for three mains, that's pretty legit. And for Justin Hill, that was a Justin Hill-style track.
Yeah.
You know, big rhythms, super calculated. I think that was right up his alley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was pumped when he saw it.
Jason Anderson, 7th. I don't got much for Jason. Like, not great starts.
Weird day.
What?
Weird day for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this was a track where I think he had an opportunity to kind of be special, and he just didn't seem to have it.
Especially when you look at the dirt, right? You mean that kind of stuff?
Yeah. All that. Yeah. Right. I just thought it was a track that he had two podiums and three races coming in.
Yeah.
A ton of momentum. Into a track where I think he expected to be good, and mm-hmm. it just never came to fruition.
Yeah. Weej, anything on JA21?
No, I think we really expected him to be good on this track. And at least with the Triple Crown, as we saw with everyone else we mentioned, at least once you end up getting a good start, and then you see what you have. None of it worked.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
So, Jorge Prado, his teammate, what's the worst thing that could happen? He crashed at Anaheim 1 and he's out for Supercross. Well, the second worst thing happened. He crashed in the second round. And we got worried of shoulder surgery. So, bummer for Jorge Prado for sure.
It was the third round, but.
Third round, sorry.
It doesn't really matter.
But. Yeah, it's absolutely terrible for Cowie and for Jorge and everything else coming into outdoors, which we all think he'll be on the podium or win races. I missed opening ceremonies. Did you guys see if what I did for Jason got in the personal favor I did?
I'm so close to losing that I had to listen to something else, and I'm like, Steve's on it.
Oh no, I missed it. I was in the pits. I forget what I caught up in the pits and missed it. So Phil,
you did a personal favor for Jason?
Yep. Yep. I think it'll help build our bridge that we
really.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm sitting here in suspense waiting.
Well, these two know about it.
Oh.
But
I was so hoping you'd say no.
I don't know why, Phil, but Kellen Brower first noticed it last year. And then we started talking about this year again. And I don't know why, but when Jason gets introduced in opening ceremonies, they do not mention 2018 450 Supercross champion. They mentioned Ken Roczen's outdoor title from 2016.
Oh, really?
They mention everybody else's titles as far as premier stuff. They don't mention anything about Jason Anderson. And it's weird because, A, he's a monster rider, and, B, like, Supercross champion also. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. So we found that weird. Part of me thought maybe Jason, because remember when he won the title, he was like, oh, I was so busy in the offseason. It was the worst, you know. But remember, mm-hmm. he was kind of like
Yeah.
Not owning being a title guy, and then he went out early with injury. Part of me was like, maybe Jason in his DGAF team fried ways was like, don't say I'm Supercross champion. Just a little bit of me was wondering, anti-authority Jason Anderson maybe did that. Just thought about it. Anyways, so I did some digging deep in his camp. You know, one of the gentlemen that I spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that Jason did not say that. He doesn't know why. I don't even know if he noticed. But I texted some VIPs and said, what's going on? And they just said, oh, yeah, well, you know, we'll put it in there. So it was supposed to be this weekend.
Huh.
Ugh.
So, I mean.
Tragic.
Riveting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like okay. I mean.
No, I love this. I'm just mad that I missed it by his thing started. Oh, here it comes. And then something was in my headset and we had to rehearse or whatever. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
But I thought you had it.
So that was it. Just,
well,
2018
just,
Supercross champ was missing.
Yeah. Mm. Why wouldn't it be in there?
I don't know. Yeah,
the guy won a 450 Supercross title. It's like massive. Okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Moving on. Jet 8th overall. AP 9th. I talked to him after the race, and he wasn't stoked, but he made some bike changes, and it's a whole lot better than it's been. So 10-7-9 on the night for AP. Malcolm 7-11-11, as we mentioned, getting it together in the whoops there. Dylan 9-8-12 and told me, bent a rear axle. So then, Phil, I said, what happens when your axle bends? Like, how does that work? Because I've never heard of that, really. And he said it was bent forward, So the chain was coming loose while he was jumping and stuff. He could feel the chain slapping because every time the wheel would move.
I wonder if he runs stock or if they get works axles or what.
I don't know.
Or what aftermarket axles? Who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
I'd be worried about whatever tie or if they run tie. Like,
Yeah. I don't know. But they put three of them in the night.
Three?
Three. Every main he did one.
He bent them.
And he said that he thought it was the finish line jump, the launch into the finish line. So then the third main, he didn't launch it and was losing time, but was trying to not, you know, have his chain come off in the air. But he said it's still bent.
We 100% can confirm it was the axle bending.
That's what Dylan told me.
Can you imagine how many swing arms I would have broke on a Husky?
I mean, bending an axle, like if Dude. There's three of them bending, hey, after the first one, I'm not using whatever axle's in our truck at that point.
I don't know, man. I'm with
you're
you
going
too.
Over
yeah.
to Lars and asking, hey, dude, give me a fucking axle. I'll give it back to you at the end of the night. You know, yeah, like yeah. I'm not risking it anymore out there.
I will
not just keep sliding new fucking axles into this thing. Gamble it some more.
Good luck.
No. Absolutely not.
Hey, after the second axle, we put another one in. The exact same one. Good luck.
Yeah, this one might have been machined, you know, slight different. But
yeah, I just thought it was bizarre. I've never heard of that.
Dude. JT, what would you do at that point?
JT would keep racing. He's done worse. He's raced with worse.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I would not even question it. Just keep throwing new parts at it.
JT, Phil, this is a man who ran out of gas five straight motos.
Yep, and the sixth one, my crank went out.
Dude, that gives me anxiety thinking about it.
Yeah, so, you know.
Holy fuck. Yeah, three axles.
I'd never heard of an axle.
You know, it didn't give me any prize money. But it didn't give me.
So, rough night for Dylan that way. One of the first or second main, he was like fourth or fifth for a bit.
He was riding
really good.
Yeah, he's battling with Chase and somebody
else.
Yeah,
we called that out. That was good.
Barcia, 12th. 12-12-6, as we mentioned. Justin Cooper, not good. I know he's start dependent, but even still. Rich Simmons said afterwards that the whoops were killing him.
Oh, I don't understand. So, again, I was at the Yamaha test track Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. But he was skimming the whoops just fine.
Okay.
You know, and I talked to Gilly, and Gilly's just a guy. He's just got to practice skimming them. Well, he did at the Yamaha test track, and they weren't easy whoops by any means.
Did I miss when he won a title by jumping whoops in 250 class? I assumed he was good in whoops.
I don't know.
Okay.
But those whoops, they looked tricky last night, but I don't think they were like deadly.
Right.
I mean, it needs to be said that skimming whoops on a 450 is much tougher than a 250. Yeah,
way, way harder. Completely different ball game. But still, those whoops last night for someone like Jay Coop should have been somewhat.
Landon Gordon was blitzing them.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't.
Yeah.
So, rough night. McElrath was happy with his night, 14, 15, 13. He felt like he made some bike changes and was happy. I talked to him after the race a little bit. Joey was not. Joey went down three times, twice in the turn after the first rhythm. And then he picked his bike up. A lap later, he was down in the turn before the far rhythm. Right-hander, bowl turns. Both down. And then had a terrible night, and then told me he did not want to do an interview after the night. It was not good. Savacci was not in a good place.
Didn't you say he crashed five total times in that?
I think he crashed five times in that total practice. That's counting picking his bike up and falling again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I texted him after that practice. Usually Joey's a really communicator. He's joking. Like, he's a good guy to talk with, good and bad. And I said, what in the fuck? Okay. After that practice, and he never texted me back. Like, he would have.
I don't blame him.
No,
you fucking kidding me?
Well, dude, he would text me back and be like, yeah, bro, like, I got to figure things out. Like, he's not that type of guy. And he never texts back. And I'm like, yeah, it's not good.
I think Joey's a badass. I think he should be 5, 6, 7 every single weekend.
Well, he told me, he thinks he should be 6 to 10.
Oh, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
He's such a good rider.
Such a good rider.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Joey is awesome. I don't understand what's happening. Not even, like, doesn't show it in a heat race yet, hasn't showed it in main, hasn't showed it in a practice. Like, I don't know what's going on. But what changed so much from World Supercross? Because in World Supercross, like, I get it wasn't as deep, but he wasn't that far off of
Eli
and Kenny.
Yeah.
But now it's like you're not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. Nichols, I didn't notice much of Colt outside of he had to go to the LCQ. That wasn't good. Oldenburg, I did see the blue fenders back on beta. Blue front fenders, blue rims. You guys notice that?
Did not notice that.
Looking good. Chiz, Weege?
Oh, my gosh. He was great for many reasons because Barsha was somehow the guy on the bubble to not qualify on speed. Barsha was 17th. So he barely made it in and didn't have to go to the LCQ. And I look, I'm like, dude, Chiz has got Barsha covered on qualifying speed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. And then amazingly, I just tweeted this actually. Chiz goes 18, 18, 18 for 18th. That is chizzing everybody.
That's amazing.
And
complete friggin' chaos for every rider.
Not
Chiz 18, 18, 18.
This is going to come across as bagging on Chiz, but not to bag on Chiz. But I guarantee you, Barsha looked at the times and was like, really? Really? Chiz just put in a hotter lap than I did? Like a
Chiz would agree.
Yeah, Chiz did agree in the post race. Yes. He's like, I couldn't believe it. You see that qualifying time? He was very excited.
Especially knowing Chiz and his age and those rhythms. Yeah. There ain't no fucking way Chiz is doing those rhythms.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benny had bike problems, like I mentioned. It wasn't a good night for Benny Bloss. I do say A-Rod made the main, and last weekend, Lewis Phillips was asking about A-Rod, and I'm like, he's not really a supercross guy, man. I don't expect to see him in mains. And then here we go. He's in the main.
Well, he said in the LCQ interview, he said his preseason started. He started getting ready for the season on January 3rd. So there's that.
Is that not ideal, you guys? Is that?
I don't think that's ahead of the game.
I'll ask the racers in the group. Like, is that something you guys normally did? No?
I mean, someone like Chase, Coop, Eli, Kenny could maybe kind of pull something like that off.
Okay.
But A-Rod, I don't know if that's the greatest.
Kate had bike problems as well with the landings. And Mitchell Harrison, I believe, crashed out of the first one and disappeared. I don't think he raced again. Wasn't he down the whoops or the triple? I don't remember.
I saw him pushing his bike up and he was walking behind it. And I thought he was fine.
Okay.
But I never saw him again.
Yeah. All right. That's 450 class for Glendale. Anything else about 450s? Anybody? No? Forever hold your peace? All right. Thank you to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis. I mentioned them off the top. Motorsport.com as well. Phil used to be sponsored by Motorsport, guys. And he knows the brand name that they have and the great service and the great quality and the great prices, Phil. You're a big price guy. So you know Motorsport's got great prices. Yep.
Great people.
Motorsport.com. Go through the banner on Pulpamex to help us out. And OEM and aftermarket parts from the guys at Motorsport. And again, Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Cooper Webb winning the first Triple Crown in his Fly gear. Use the code PULPAMEX when you check out to get the new Fly stuff. And please check it out if you can. From the Formula helmet to the Evo gear. It's all great stuff. BOA closure system. Phil, does your company have a BOA closure system on the back to have precise fit pants?
No,
they don't?
A 30 fits just great. A 32 fits
what
just
if you're
great.
A 29? What if you're a 31 waist, like some people are?
They're like yoga pants. They just blend.
They just blend while Fly uses the BOA stuff.
Good for Fly.
Okay. Flyracing.com. Use code PULPAMEX when you're checking out. And Weege, OnX?
Yeah, we have OnX maps on board with the pod, as always. They've got over 500,000 miles of trails mapped out, so if you're on a dirt bike or a mountain bike or a side-by-side or you're a hiker, whatever, they've got it for you. They now have turn-by-turn navigation, which can even work, I believe, offline. You can download this stuff in advance, so if you're out in the boondocks, it works no matter what. That's a whole lot better than Google Maps. Go to onxmaps.com or onx off-road in the App Store. Try for free or use the code RACERX, all one word, lowercase, and we'll give you a discount.
Well, Phil has some property in New York that borders the original where Woodstock was, the concert.
Oh, really?
Could you use OnX to get to the Woodstock Festival and maybe see if there's like buried doobies and stuff in the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Oh, did you not want me to say that, Phil, on the show?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, okay. You're looking at me like, shut up, dude. Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. 250 class. JT, I'll let you start. Do you want to go with Jordan Smith and the first win for Triumph, or do you want to start with Julian Beaumaire, or do you want to start with Deegs? Because all three of them kind of deserve their own headline here.
What about Davies?
No.
That's not?
No.
Okay. That doesn't rank up there.
No,
okay.
No, it's a good job. We'll get to Davies. I'm not saying we're not going to talk about Davies, but the other guys are more interesting to me.
Okay.
I didn't ask you, Weech. I asked JT.
I will go with Bomer.
Okay.
I'll go Bomer.
Yeah.
Because I know you're going to want to hammer me. Leave that to you.
Sorry, you broke up. Hammer you with what?
Deegan.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't do that. It's 2025. We're not.
No, you would never.
We're not going to do that on this pod in 2025. We talked about that. But Julian.
Just on Twitter.
Julian, man. Lost front end. Slid out in the other one. Could have been such a good night, JT. But honestly, like I said to Phil before we were hitting record, he got fourth overall. And then the Triple Crown will fool you into that. He got a ton of passing points. Fourth overall, throwing away two leads, JT, I guess is the best case scenario.
Man, this was a really missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah.
Deegan didn't look great. It was okay. And with those starts, he had a real opportunity to win the overall. You know, this, I think the riding was there, the starts were there, everything was set up for him to win this, and it was his own mistakes that kept doing it. So, I mean, you got to live with that. You know, nobody screwed up other than him. But this was tough because when everything's going your way and the setup's there, you got to execute. Like, you have to make the most of those spots. And not only did he not, he actually lost points to Deegan on the night. So, not catastrophic. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen still from here. But you look back, you know, and I always think about however this championship goes, when we get to Salt Lake City, win or lose, you or someone is going to look back and say, okay, where did I win or lose this? And if he loses, I feel like Glendale's going to be nights where it could have been a much better night. And you hope it doesn't come down to a couple points if you're Bomer, because he certainly left those on the table Saturday.
Weej, if you're a fan of Bomer or Julian and KTM, I mean, with his speed and what he's done, it is not a stretch to think he goes 1-1 in the first two mains. Like, at all.
Yeah.
I know Davies is great, but...
Yeah, it was a good bounce back because I think Anaheim made it look like maybe it's like, it was just Deegan's game all along. He messed up the first two rounds. Deegan's the guy. But this would have been massive to fire back like that and be like, no, that was just Anaheim. I'm still the guy. I have the red plate for a reason. Ian came up to me shooting Weed Show and said, did you know that Julian's into giving people gifts? He's a really nice guy. Likes to give people gifts. But, dude, I couldn't agree with JT more. I mean, the point swing alone, that who knows? Maybe this Triple Crown's hard with the math. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a 10-point swing between him and Deegan on this night, depending on how it goes in those crashes. And yeah. You might wish he got those back.
I like the one industry stuff, but maybe some of his mistakes was that was not good this weekend. I was not a fan. Now, granted, I'm an older gentleman, and maybe I'm not the demographic for that gear. But I wonder if he had, like, great-looking gear on if he does better. Phil?
I was down at Dr. G's on Monday, and he walked in. I said, oh, your gear looks really good. I like it. He goes, yeah, my stuff this weekend's sick. It's even better than and I'm too. And
okay.
Then I saw it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it's better than.
But he also wears those pants and stuff on track walk, so maybe his style sense is a little different from ours.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's accustomed to their own style. Which
right.
Is, that's not my style,
right.
You know.
He still rode great. I mean, he passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
800 guys.
He, even in practice when he did the 59 or whatever.
Yeah.
He, like, I'm cringing when I watch him because he is on the brink of disaster. It looks like disaster.
You think? Okay.
I mean, he's just on edge, just trying to get that lap time where I'm like, just get second, dude, in the qualifying.
Yeah.
Get to the main event.
You know what he told me after the race?
What?
With no heat race. The heat race bonus for $3,000 is rolled into fastest qualifier.
Okay, but at the end of the night, you know, you're in it for a championship too. I get it. Yeah, but it's still like, geez.
Because I told him that. I said, it looks like you guys are hanging it out to get top qualifier. And that's when he said, well, it's $3,000 tonight.
I'd save the three. I'd save it.
You know? I will say, I watched Deegan's lap, and I'm like, that's incredible. Like, I don't know how you go any fast. Like, that's perfect. That was great. It was amazing. And then I didn't watch Bomer's. I missed it. I wasn't watching him. And I look up, and because it happened almost within 20 seconds, I think, right? Deegs and then Bomer. Mm-hmm. And then I look up and I'm like, I don't know how Bomer just got a better time than what I just saw from Deegan. So
I was in awe when it came across, but when I watch him, and he's had a couple talking to Franz, which is crazy to me because he practices on that kind of dirt mm-hmm. all the time. Like he goes up the Beta KTM track, like that's the style of dirt that he's been riding yeah. or accustomed to, yep. you know? So I don't know. It just, it didn't add up, but he said it's $3,000. That was his heat race.
And yeah. Moved
it into a pole.
Yeah.
So he only makes $3,000 for a heat race.
I guess.
Ouch.
Well, I thought 450s was $5,000. No. They've been more than that?
Yeah, more.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought 450s were $10,000.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, who okay. did Juju's deal on that one.
All right. We each go ahead and talk about Davies, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, not really a big deal at all. Thought he was going to win the overall. We weren't even sure he's going to be pro this year. Deegan couldn't even catch him straight up in the second race, but I guess that's just not... That's yeah. like fourth, fifth biggest story. Not a big deal.
Pretty underwhelming, okay. Weege.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I got that one wrong.
He's on the list to talk about. I wasn't like not going to talk about.
I just thought
him.
That Davey's going 1-1. And yes,
not a better went down,
but like they weren't catching him. These are good riders that weren't catching him.
No,
I thought that was a big deal.
No, he was great. He was great. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, dude, this is ridiculous how good he is. Plus, just watch him ride on Supercross. You're like, wow, do they have something here? RIP Daniel Blair.
Someone told me, they're like, yeah, he just, you know, it was all right in the combines. And I'm like, yeah, I think he's a Supercross kid. He's just, like, that's been the yeah. thing. Like, outdoor yeah. motocross isn't his thing. Supercross is. And Daniel said that early on. Yeah.
And his interviews are really coming around.
Yeah, he's great now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really coming around. I was so impressed with, like, before, man, he just seemed so socially awkward. And I was like, man, you got to just loosen up a little bit mm-hmm. here. And he has turned a corner. So I was very excited about that.
Yeah. And
remember, Blair wouldn't even allow him to come on Pulp last year, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, it's not going to be good. And
yeah,
now he's kind of becoming the class comedian in the press conferences and stuff.
Yeah. No, he was great. So, yeah, 118. Like, honestly, like right now, Phil, who's going to win this title? Right?
I know.
Because you can make a case. Jordan, to me, would be fourth. How many points is Davies back? Is he a lot?
I don't even know.
Let me look.
But when Davies...
Davies, remember, went down first turn at Anaheim 1 also, so that didn't help.
And came back.
But yeah, he's 15 back.
He's 15
yeah.
back?
Yeah.
So you don't... I mean, these shootouts coming up, I mean, it can go any which way, but I just... What that kid does is... just the whoop speed, his time. The kid doesn't even hang a fucking wheel.
Does he? Is it just because of the 100 that I think he looks like Ernie and he's small? Is that it?
No. It's the same color bike, the same color gear. Number 100, he rides perfect technique.
Yeah.
Never makes a mistake. It's all those things.
Okay. Yeah. Because he really reminds me of Ernie. So technical, yeah, so precise. Sure, yeah. But then I'm like, maybe it's just the 100 and blue bike. I don't know. But
No, it's all of it. Yeah. You're right. Your first instinct was right.
The vented front number, I don't know. The kid is a little badass.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm 3 times a lap, I say he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I said he was unbelievable. Even after he went down and came back, like it's just, I don't get it.
Not a big story.
Well, I just think the other ones are bigger, Weege.
Yeah, same.
Okay, well, listen, Jordan Smith, just what? Like, oh.
Oh, I want to go back to, so all this talk of Bobby Reagan just plucking these kids, stealing them, plucking them, like, one out of a million, one worked out finally.
Yeah.
So Bobby's a genius.
Okay.
Just keep fucking plucking them.
I mean, if you have 10 shots at the board, you got better chances to get one right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He got one right.
Right.
So does he look like a genius now or what? No one talks about that. But when none of them work out, it's just like, oh, Bobby just taking these fucking
But okay, literally, this Deegs was can't miss, and this Cole Davies is the first one in a while.
But they went and got Deegan. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
He was KTM. His whole career
mm-hmm.
as an amateur, and they went and got him. So there's that part of it.
You know, I mean, and this Meneer kid that's coming up could also be I mean, you don't know. I mean, you just start throwing darts at the dartboard. One of them's going to hit. Now all of a sudden, this thing just pop.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
Poor Daniel.
Does it get weird near the end when Davies, say, is Deegs' speed and has to move over and or whatever? Does it get weird? Because he's 15 back? I don't know.
He's too fast to move over.
I mean, that's down the road because a lot can happen. But like you said, shootouts and stuff, Phil. But and the East is stacked. So, like, you watch Davies and Julian and you're like, and I know RJ and I know McAdoo and Hammacher and these dudes are so good. I'm just like, how? Like right now, Tom Vial, the defending East Coast champion, I might put him eighth on the list of 250 riders.
Watching Davies,
yeah,
and knowing the speeds, if he holds shots in East-West shootout, he wins.
He's gone, yeah. Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Guys on the East aren't beating Davies like he was on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my feelings.
Well, Jordan Smith, 48 years old, brand new OEM still, and only second year, like Kelly Smith and KTM in 2000, just the same thing, getting its OEM the first win. Good for Jordan. Good for Triumph. They've been through a lot, the Hewitt stuff and Joey leaving the team and some DNFs, and like Scuba is such a happier guy these days. You know him well, mm-hmm. Phil. Awesome job for Jordan and Triumph.
Yeah.
Yep.
And FXR.
First win for FXR.
First win for Triumph. I think that's awesome. Shows that the bike's competitive. You know, mm-hmm. is it maybe still a little less than a star bike and stuff? Maybe a little bit. But Jordan, with experience and stuff, can put it 1, 2, or 3 every single weekend. And
JT, you weren't a Jordan Smith hater. Not like you were with Troll Train. But I feel like
you hated Troll.
Yeah, dude, he was never a Troll fan.
No, he's such a
no. Weege, verify that
a hater.
Okay,
that's harsh.
Maybe not hater, but you were not a troll. Like you were not on the train.
Well, Steve, compared to you, when you get latched onto something, anything else compared to you is going to be considered a hater. Like anything, when it's your guy. Okay. So, no, I was not a troll hater. Why would I be a troll hater? That's ridiculous.
I am.
Okay. But Jordan, like, JT, you've made a few references to Jordan crashing a lot, and he did.
I mean, he has crashed a lot in his career.
The last couple of years, he's been so much better.
And, it has been better.
I almost wonder, like,
they're still there, though.
Well, was there last weekend?
They're still there every once in a while.
I mean, he sent it to the Whoops last weekend, you know, but he was trying to – he saw an opening, and he sent it.
Yep. Last year at Glendale.
He'd be points leader right now.
Oh, yeah. I remember last year
at Glendale. It's not like he never crashed.
What happened at Glendale last year?
Dude, remember there was a medic flag, and like he backed out last second or something happened
happened?
He went off into the Whoops.
Yes.
I only remember because I remember I was hitting the finish line and I just see out of my peripheral Jordan launching off the side of the track. Yeah. It's like the
fuck? He does seem like a different guy the last couple of years for the most part.
I'm not denying that.
And it's awesome. He told me afterwards that the bike turns so good. Like he didn't mention the motor. He said the bike. He said the bike turns so good that I have to be careful. He said, and make sure that I'm like straight and everything, you know?
Didn't Joey Savacchi say it was the best bike he's ever ridden?
Handling. Yeah, correct. He said it was really good handling.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Joey said it a couple times.
Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome. And at fourth race for Triumph. And they win, this year coming in.
So. I want to make this very clear. I'm a big Jordan Smith fan, as a person. Very big fan. If you look over the course of his career, he has crashed a lot.
Yeah.
That's, that has nothing to do with anything else.
Good job. Awesome. Weege, anything on Jordan?
I know you said it's been a struggle because of the Hewitt thing and Joey leaving, but dude, to win a Supercross, and I keep pointing out that they didn't start until the East last year, so this is in less than 1 year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a struggle.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either, Weege. Yeah, they didn't even do West last year. So like,
Angelique got on the box last year.
Yeah,
so there was.
I interviewed Scuba at the end of the year last year, and the guy was like suicidal. And I'm like, if go fans right now, and I say, how do you think Triumph's first year would go? Went, most fans would be like, I think it was pretty good. And he's like, no way, man, it's embarrassing. And I'm like, it was your first year; it was fine. Like, I don't consider
compared to what expectation. Compared to what expectation is always the question, right?
Dude, it could be such a disaster. Like, the bikes always look good. Swole was good last year. This has been, I think, as good as you could ever expect it to go.
Yeah, you know I'm on board with you, Weege. I've said it 100 times on TV about how impressed I am. Imagine just skipping 20 years of 2BDF development and having to just go in. Like, yep, we're just going to show up and race these guys.
Yeah. They're
immediately competitive. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean...
To me, that's wildly impressive.
Even talking about KTM back in the day when Kelly won, that bike was still out for a number of years and making improvements. It wasn't a brand new bike at all, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just their first year with the team.
Like, yeah. Their 252 stroke and all that in like the 90s. That thing was way worse than the other bikes.
Well, good job, Jordan's, and then Jordan's two back. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about Deegs. Weege, he told you he was riding at 70% last week.
75. I went back to review the footage. Dude, this is so classic Deegs. He just said he doesn't really know where he stands because he knows all the fast dudes are in the East. And last week he was just cruising at 75% and pulling away no problem. But he doesn't really know where he's at because all the fast guys are in the East, which is just so...
So Deegs.
So Deegs, dude. Just dropping shade all over everybody. It was great.
That fucks me up.
What did he say last night? Something about I barely beat Cole Davies or something?
No, that was a bit of a censored, I think he was making an edging joke.
Oh.
I was edging, yeah, I was just edging Cole Davies, I think was
the joke there. I did not get that, but.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we're not going to laugh at that one.
All right.
We're not going to laugh at that one. But, God, it's just so Deegs, dude. I mean, you know me.
Do you know what this is? Do you know what edging is, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's edging mean?
I'll tell you later.
I mean,
3-2-4.
There's been 3 Triple Crown races and 3 other mains, and Deegan has only won one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah, if you look at it right, great. There's been.
He can still win the title. Still win the title. But there's no way this was anyone's expectation, I would think. Nope. If anyone says, hey, at Anaheim 1, this is where we'll be leaving Glendale, it would have been like, really?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, everyone would have said that, right.
But he has to go up, in my opinion, right? This is, I'll make it short and sweet. If you want to talk and you want to be the guy, which we all are willing to give him the benefit that he is the guy, you know, like he's earned some of that. When you're in position and your rookie teammate in his fourth race ever is in front of you, you got to go get him. Like you have to go up and you have to go pass him. That's just, in my opinion... To be that guy, to be the guy that like everybody's looking to, quote unquote, next, you're going to be a 450 superstar. You want to win this championship. All the things, all the accolades you want to throw at it. You cannot let Cole Davies beat you in that spot. And I know it's easier said than done. I totally get it. But that comes with the territory of being that guy. It's, you know, like if you want to be the man, you have to step up in those moments and go past your rookie teammate and go win the race. And I know he was trying. It's pretty obvious, but that to me is like the trouble spot. Is like he still got some work to do here,
and
because he wasn't able to do it.
And it wasn't like he was catching him every lap and then made a mistake and then Davies pulled away. Like Davies was going faster or the same as Deegs. Yeah. Like it was
100%.
The lap times were not indicator of Deegan being any faster.
And Davies is just a sponge at this point in time. The more he gets out there, the more he's out front, the more he evolves. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Deegs, or I don't know what's going on with Hayden. Is he at his limit? Is he at his ceiling at this point in time? I mean, is this...
some people say he's not as good in Supercross as Motocross.
Okay, that's fine. But if that's being said, Davies is only at his fourth race, and he's already where he's at.
Yeah.
And he's already got...
It's disturbing if you're Brian and Hayden. It's disturbing.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Right. Like, I feel like Davey's ceiling can go higher than what Deegs can at the moment. I think Deegs is almost already maxed.
Yeah. Cool. Weege, he made a mistake in the first Triple Crown, Weege. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, he did. This is just tough. This is tough giving you all this ammo and...
I've said it from the start, Phil.
I can't argue with you.
These two guys beat me up on it, but I've said it. He makes too many mistakes in Supercross. Small stuff, but heat races.
Yeah, he makes mistakes.
He makes mistakes, and it's like, I don't know if outdoors he just has more room. He's in better shape, but I mean, Yeah, he just makes mistakes.
I don't know. He reminded me kind of like RV with how he rides Supercross versus Outdoors. Maybe he hasn't fully hit the stride, but I still think Deegs wins the title. I do.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I do personally.
Yep.
It's just right now, he might be just a tad bit flustered at the moment. But
yeah, well, he's got 2 weeks. And maybe Weech, if you can – I don't talk to Brian much, Weech, but if you could get the word to Brian to not ride a 75%, like we got to bump that up now. So if you want to just
– Brian is not on board with
some
of these things. Like Brian has many times said, I cringe sometimes when I hear him say things, but I have to let him be an adult. And I try to walk him back from some things, but I have to let him be himself. Like Brian has said that, I don't know, 10 million times. He even said it yesterday on RDL. Like he said it a lot.
I think Brian's good with that sort of stuff, too. You know, like, he'll step in sometimes, but he lets his kid be his kid, you know.
We have
French broadcasters now, and we have had Sebastian Tortelli and David Villeman on some of our calls, JT, as you know. And they just kind of say, you know, he's such a – to simplify what they're saying, he's just so grip it and rip it that, in their opinion, doesn't necessarily lend itself to Supercross. Mm-hmm. We've had some other people that don't agree with that, but –
Well,
that's at least their theory.
There was a rider named Doug Henry once who was really good in Supercross.
Oh,
he won
Supercross.
I'm out on this.
Doug Henry won a Supercross title, like literally won a 125 Supercross title. So I'm not saying Doug Henry can't ride Supercross, but he was a lot better outdoors. And we've had guys like that. So just saying.
We know. Okay. We've heard it like 12 weeks in a row.
So all right, let's get into this. Championship pie, three of them. They're within 3 points. What's your championship pie right now? And again, we have shootouts coming up, so like lots of shit can change. But Weege, like Phil said, Deegs has the greater percent to win this title in his eyes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mostly because, I mean, dude, he's already won three titles at this level where Juju sure seems like a dude that's like ice cold and doesn't get rattled. But this is a big ask to deal with this kind of pressure, and you hadn't even podiumed in Supercross a year ago. So that's a difference to me. I'll give it to Deegan. And honestly, Jordan's been around a long time, but same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, to win year two, the title in the West on Triumph, these are just big asks. Like, these would still be awesome seasons for all these guys if they don't win the title. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the difference.
All right, JT, what's your title pie percent?
I think it's either Bomer or Deegs. I just think those two are too consistent and have this thing kind of figured out and too much. Man, if Bomer executes last night, I was ready to kind of push my chips all in and face the wrath of Hayden from there. But last night was like, man, Julian, you've got to take advantage when you have that spot. And he didn't. And Hayden didn't either. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was set up perfectly for Julian to not only bounce back, but extend the points lead, do all the right things, and he let it go the other way. Like, he actually gave points back. So I think I'm going to stick with Deegs for the title.
I was thinking about this question on the plane, and so I have a little bit more thought to it than I threw it on you guys. But with Julian pulling those two starts yesterday, with him out-qualifying Deegs, I'll go Bomer. Like, what I saw at Glendale was that he threw it away, but he won't do that again. And then he's got the speed. He's got better speed than Deegs in qualifying. And Deegan hasn't quite figured out the starts. Julian's starts were better. I'll go Bomer, I think. Yeah. You know, but close, obviously close. But I this kid's surprising the shit out of me. So
I think it's going to be really interesting when we get in these shootout races, showdowns. I think those are going to be the difference maker. I do.
Yeah.
You can just lose and gain so many points. And I think that the more competition and the more important it is, I think Deegs will be better. So if you wanted a differentiator for me why he wins, I'm going to say the shootouts or the then that showdowns make a difference.
Yeah.
And Bomer worries me just because he's not good in the mud and there's a lot of open domes still up for grabs. That's why I also think, Deegan will be better, but also Jordan's good at managing those situations, too.
Wouldn't it be cool if Jordan did it, though? It would be awesome.
It would be really cool.
Yeah.
I just think Jordan can manage those variables better. I think I raced with Juju last year in the mud, and I seen him, and he's even told me specifically how he struggles in that sort of stuff in rutted conditions.
Not a lot of Havasu mud races.
Yeah, so that's a big part of Supercross and these open domes that are coming up here sooner or later. That could be a
I'll tell you
factor.
What, I don't know if I interviewed him last year more than twice all year long, and then now because of how good he's doing, I'm finding him more on track walk. He's a really cool kid.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's a really, really good interviewer, really cool kid. Yeah. Like, I like that package. You know, I didn't like that gear that he was packaged in this weekend. But
he is an awesome kid.
Just Mosman, the Justin Hill in the 250 class, pretty much. Just Mosman.
I guess I see what you mean as far as, like, you just never know when he's going to send it for five laps.
Right.
Like, oh, he's as fast as anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. But, I mean, this is Mosman. Well, I guess it's also always been Hill, too, I guess.
Right. Both. Just Hill's in a tougher class, but same idea. Yeah.
Yes. Phil, we say it every single week on the show. Like, remember Mosman and Hunter Lawrence were basically even 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Like, that's how good Mosman can be. Mm-hmm. But he's just dealt with so much physically. I actually saw him on the train from the rental car station to the airport. Like, the physical setbacks he's been dealing with, I don't know how you can possibly gauge his progress at this point. This is a long road back from a lot of time off and a lot of injuries.
Well, didn't you say, Weegee, he retired? He had a party and retired?
Yeah, he said he had a retirement party when he broke his neck for what he found out was the third time. He thought he'd only broke it twice. And they're like, no, there's stuff in there from some other. So he had a retirement party. Then the doctor said, you know, you're really not at any more risk to do it again than anyone else, just the way this happens to be. So he's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just feel like, considering all that, I don't really know how I can judge him in four races.
Marchbanks, sixth, Phil. That's your guy, G. Came back from shoulder injury.
Yep. Second one killed him a little bit.
Yep.
Going down in the sand there, which I think he would have maybe been in a little bit of a contention.
That looked like it hurt, by the way he got up. Did he... Like, he got up slow. He looked like he...
I don't know which shoulder it is, actually. Oh, okay. So, he might have yanked on it a little bit.
I saw him, like really take his time to get up, like, F my life, you know?
I've been around G a while. Sometimes, they're a little exaggerated at times. But, again, he is coming back from... He might have jacked his shoulder, you know? But good.
Bordon was third, I think, for a while in one of them. Fourth? He was up there. Mm-hmm. Seventh overall. Enzo Lopes, Phil, really cost me in this little fantasy game I play with Daniel Blair.
Mm-hmm.
Did he hurt himself? He's okay?
I called Enzo this morning. I haven't talked to him.
But I heard he hurt himself.
Maybe his knee or something. Oh, okay. A little bit. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
it was with his speed coming in last week to not make it was very surprising, you know? So I don't know if it was bike or body or... Like, when I think of one lap speed, I'm like, Enzo Lopes is going to make the top 17.
100%. I mean, you know? So he rode Tuesday. Wednesday was good.
Yep.
You know, I was there Tuesday watching a little bit Wednesday and I left, but I don't know.
Cody Shock went down late in the third one. I think it cost him a few spots, but Shock's worst finish of the year, eighth, nine, eight, nine.
Starts weren't good.
No, starts weren't good. Parker Ross has been good.
Really good.
I don't know anything about Parker Ross, like amateur kid, but yeah. Joe had to pull in the mechanics area first main for some issues and then went back out. And then 6-5 and the other ones on that. JT, got anything on Joe?
He needs a break. I saw something about he got rear-ended. He posted.
Mm.
But he just needs a few weeks off. I mean, he's not doing himself any favors by continuing to race with a broken hand.
So Lux Turner...
The rear-ending was because when Beaumaire went down, like 17 guys all piled in behind him.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That looked like the 405 freeway, like just laying there. Everybody just laying there.
I know. I asked Cole Davis. I'm like, hey, did you see that pileup? He's like, no. What are you? I'm like, all the motorcycles laying on the ground behind you. And he's like, nah, I missed it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Cool, man.
Well, on the broadcast, you could hear we were in shock. I'm like, dude, Beaumaire's gotten all the way up from last to sixth. And I'm like, oh, no, wait. That's because 11 bikes were stuck behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Lux Turner's gone.
A little easier.
Lux Turner's gone 11-11, DNF 11 in the four races on the AEO bike. So good job for Lux Turner.
He rides good.
Pretty good.
Yep. TJ Albright's been good. 12th overall. I think this is the season best for him. Marsh got in. Marshall Welton. Phil, can you explain? Marshall Welton rode 450s to start. Didn't have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped down to 250s for this weekend. Can't ride to the East now. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go back on a 450 for the East.
Yeah.
But somehow, okay. Can you explain the career path here?
No.
Because if you're going to ride 250 West, why don't you just keep riding the 450 until the East? Because what's the sense of jumping in the fourth race?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I mean, 250 East is obviously going to be really stacked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So maybe you thought, well, I'm already not making 450 main events.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go to 250 main events on the West where I don't even want to say water down a little bit.
It is watered down a little bit.
To where he can maybe get 8th through 10th. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of, I think, where he wanted to be. Get his name out there versus, because he's been obsolete. You know, yeah. No one's been listening to his name versus going east and potentially, worst case scenario, now making it in Tampa.
Right.
And then just go to 450 next weekend in Tampa and just be like, yeah, if I don't make the main, I don't make the main. But the end goal for him is SMX. So.
Right.
But I don't know the logic behind it.
Okay. Because he knew the east was stacked before Anaheim.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all know that. We knew that. Nothing's really changed. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he got in because Drew Adams broke his collarbone.
Yes.
And then, so Marsh was 5th in the LCQ, so they bumped Marsh into there. Yeah. And then he got 13th, so definitely good deal.
Which the TV crew should have mentioned something with that, you know?
Yeah, you think the TV crew would have been on that?
Yeah. TV crew is not made aware of this rule change.
Okay, what else?
Future... I gotta jump off, guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
he texted you, but you're not reading.
Yeah, because I focus on the podcast. I don't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no different than JT saying, "Hey, you guys can call me. I'm ready." And then,
yeah, I'm focusing on the job at hand, but got a podcast doing it. All right. What about what about futures? Can we any thought on that? I didn't really watch it. Landon Gordon won.
That's your level of paying attention. You literally don't even know.
No, I know he won, but I was sort of busy. I was keeping one eye on the race, like.
So Arena Cross
sort of
all
busy
in
doing
for
what?
Free.
Listen, can we
he
just
spent $600 of his own money on Arena Cross, JT.
I want to know what sort of busy means during the race.
Listen, can I just
I got something about the futures. Cole Davis did futures last year.
Yeah.
And then 1 year from now I see this jump. I watched futures last night. I don't see that jump being made from any of those kids to where Cole Davies did or where Juju did. Any of you guys or no? I mean, Landon Gordon, is it Landon Gordon?
He looks really
good on the bike on the Cowie. Yeah, he looks really good. But I don't know. I mean,
didn't even see it to me as much from Davies. I do feel like every time I always saw Juju ride Supercross, he always looked solid, which is not what you can say for most of these guys. I didn't necessarily see it from Davies. I'm a little less surprised from Juju, but yeah, that I don't see this jump being normal. But according to Steve, it's not that big a deal, so hey.
I mean, when you look at Gavin Towers was battling Davies last year at Futures. But granted, there was a 5-year age gap between them, but still, it's like, huh.
Yeah, it's trying to, you're guessing. I don't, anybody that tells you like, hey, I can tell you exactly who's going to make the jump and who's not is fooling themselves.
That's what I'm saying. So we're doing these futures races, but we don't. I don't know. It just seems mind blowing.
I mean, all you're doing is grooming them, and you just hope they make it, right? Like, I think the process has to remain, but like, who takes that is, I think, impossible. I really do. I think it's impossible. You're just, all these guys are investing and betting on it happening, and then you just hope that it goes the way that it does.
But it just still scares me, those kids out there on that track.
There was a lot of crashes. Like JT mentioned, this track was gnarly. Dude. So, all right, Weege left. But, okay, that's anything else, 250s? We got anything else? Shout out Billy Lanovich. Lano made it.
Cool. 41 years old.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's awesome. He didn't have a great main event, but whatever. Cool that Billy made it. So, anything else? Glendale? Triple Crown?
I think so.
Yes.
We're on to the East Coast. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Billy Lanovich, 41 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Not a full-time job, I don't even really know. If you're in that 250 class and Billy Leninovich is beating you, okay, I'm not knocking Billy. I think Billy's awesome. What are you doing at that point in time?
Like everybody behind Billy in the LCQ?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're just a gate filler at that point.
Probably going back to work on Monday.
JT, I'm serious. Like,
I'm too.
No, but the kids behind Billy.
I mean, he's a former Supercross winner.
He's 41.
I know, but
41 on a Honda.
Okay.
I mean, there's just a lot of people are just living the dream. Like, you know, Josh Greco's not young. He's like late 30s, and he's just out there just because he wants to be out there. I don't know.
And Billy's hurt. A couple broken ribs. Like, he's not like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like grandpa out there with a cane. But he's still doing it.
Yeah.
When I see that, I'm like, well, what is everyone else doing?
What would you say you're doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Am I wrong thinking that or no?
Well,
no. It's fair. I think everybody's been in, I've definitely been in that spot where I'm like, am I going to make this happen or not? Like, I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm not,
you know, like,
I'm not full gypsy with the privateers. Like, I'm not that. I think he's out of, but
yeah,
absolutely there needs to be some sort of like, hey man, you haven't made a night show in X number of races.
Yes.
You can't race supercars.
It's over.
Cause we do need to save the track is my thing. The tracks are getting hammered. If we cut down on some times and some sessions and everything else, the racing will be better for it. So there are people that show up every single race that you're just like, what are you doing? Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
If that was me, I just know what my father would tell me. He'd say, you're not going to the next race next weekend.
You're based done. On Billy?
No.
41?
Yeah. If I got beat by Billy, my dad's telling me, hey, you're done.
Okay.
You know? My dad told me I was done after Unadilla last year. He's just like, that's it. If you plan on riding like that, don't go to Bud's Creek. Okay. Thanks, Dad.
Well, I'm sure Frank told JT that a few times too. So.
1998, Indianapolis opener. I didn't qualify, and my dad's just like, "This isn't gonna work." Like, 97, I was okay. I made some mains. Like, yeah. It was fine, you know. And I knew it. Like, I was like, "Nope, totally get it."
Yeah.
You're right. Like, I'm not gonna continue to do this either. This is, I'm gonna get better and do it or I'm not. And I did. Like, I figured it out. But like,
Frank gave you one race of not making it, and then that was it?
No. Like, what, he wasn't telling me, like, you got to quit. He's just like, this not making mains, like, there's no future in that.
Yeah.
I was going to college at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was basically like, hey, this, you can't just keep racing and not making mains. There's not enough money in that. So just go to school.
Well, but
it was basically just like a, hey, like, this isn't good enough talk. He wasn't being mean.
Yeah.
He wasn't yelling. It wasn't anything. It was just like, you know, he was telling me the truth, really.
Well, I earlier said night shows. If you want to stretch it to mains, there's a lot of dudes who, you know, like.
Yeah. But there's no, I mean, you go to a race, you don't make the night show in the 125 class. I made probably $350. Like, not counting entry fee and travel and anything. That's not going to work.
No.
I don't know.
Phil, maybe we'll have this as your race tech rant tomorrow night.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for it, but okay.
I like Frank saying, hey, this, you got to get better next week, JT, or we're done.
No, it wasn't like that. I think he was just trying to prove a point that, like, he knew I was working really hard.
Yeah.
And you gotta make it happen. Like, and that's a lesson to, I think, a lot of kids. It's like, you're pushing all in. There are moments in life that are going to define what you do. And in those moments, you better make damn sure that you do it. And all this work and all this time, it all comes down to what you do on Saturday nights. Like, you can haul ass on Thursday. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Saturday night when you have to show up.
Yep.
I agree.
All right. Well, we're on to Tampa. 250 East is going to be awesome. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow night on the show. Well, let's do that when we get JT on the line. We'll break down to the East tomorrow night because it's cool. It's exciting. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Thank you to Fly Racing and Motorsport, Renthal, Maxis for coming on board, Onyx Maps as well. Thanks to Weege. He's gone. But Phil, thanks for stepping in, Philip.
Oh, yeah.
And JT, thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.